live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you, well, from still the virtual Business Radio X studio in not in Renaissance Bank, but we hope to be back soon, and we'll let you know about that. In the meantime, the Renaissance Bank branches are still closed, except for customers with an appointment. So if you want to give them a call, make an appointment, you can get in to see your friendly Renaissance banker locally, or you can give them a call. And the drive-thrus are always open, of course, so you can go through the drive-thru at any time. And you can go to renaissancebank.com for the latest, and I would encourage you to do that. They've been terrific with a lot of small businesses. I know that firsthand, so check them out, renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And we've got two great guests today. I've been looking forward to this show. Jeff Lovejoy, he's with Action Coach, and also David McDonough, and David is with Modern Image. But we're going to start with Jeff Lovejoy, and Jeff is with Action Coach. Jeff, how are you?
Good morning, John. Good morning, John. I'm fine. Thanks.
Yeah, great to see you again. Great to have you on the show again.
Thank you. Excited.
Yeah. And I wanted to get you on because you, you work with a lot of businesses and you've got a lot of great perspective on the current times. But for those that don't know, you don't know Action Coach, maybe you can give them an overview.
Sure. Glad to, John. Thanks. Action Coach is a worldwide franchise. We've got about 1,000 coaches around the world coaching anywhere from 15,000 businesses and up. And our role, John, is to work with the owners who are, they're successful business owners. But the business has plateaued. And it's plateaued because the owner is spending a lot of time doing the work of the business and is not thinking strategically. And the strategic thinking is what's necessary in order to take the business up, to get to the next level above the current plateau. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that's a logical thought process. They think to work more, to grow the business, they've got to work harder. And, you know, they get on that hamster wheel and it's tough to get off that hamster wheel. And they need someone to kind of help them get off that wheel. And that's my role, is to help them start thinking more strategically and a little bit less doing the work of the business, the old on the business instead of in the business.
And just, I mean, I think a lot of business owners kind of intuitively know this. I mean, this is like, you know, flossing and brushing your teeth. You know, you're supposed to do it, right? But not, maybe it doesn't get done like it should. Right. What are the stakes that are involved in this? I guess what I'm getting at is what happens when people start working on the business itself instead of in the business? What's the outcome of that for a lot of your clients?
It's huge, John. You know, and in fact, to your earlier point, a lot of business owners don't realize, you know, that they bought the plumbing company, the roofing company, the florist, they went to law school, and everything they've been taught is how to do the work that the business does. None of it is around how to run a business. Mm. It doesn't matter if you're the engineer, the highest, you know, the architects, whatever. All the training is on the technical aspect of the business. None of it is on how to run it. So many of them don't think that they have to spend less time doing what they work on and to think strategically because they enjoy it. But when they do, the results can be dramatic. I've had clients in 12 months double revenue. We've doubled profits. I've had clients who have had a team that was literally clocking in and clocking out. We're not motivated. We're not inspired. We're not empowered. And within 9 months, we had turned that around dramatically to the point that the employees were helping the owner reach the owner's goals, something that never was happening prior to our getting together. So, you know, it's having someone else give you ideas and to help you think through ideas that really can have dramatic impact on the businesses. And as I say, doubling revenue, doubling profits, creating an empowered team, spending. I worked with one who was working 60 hours a week, and we got it down to 40 hours a week, and she was just as productive. And in fact, the board acknowledged that she was more available to them, that she was getting more done. So, you know, it's getting out of our own way, I guess, is another way of thinking about it. Need someone to help us get them out of their own way.
What you just outlined is something that's priceless. You would expect me to bring this up. I mean, when you given the work I do in my day job, but you when you give a business owner back 20 hours a week, I mean, that literally, that's not a cliche. That really is priceless.
Yes, absolutely. And especially when you have kids at home and, you know, you're missing, you don't have date nights with the spouse. You don't, you're missing the kids, the boys' baseball games, the daughter's ballet. Mm. I run into people like that all the time. Mm. And they just don't see the other side of the track, so to speak. You know, they don't see that it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
So, that's honestly what makes this one of the, a very enjoyable job. It's a lot of hard work, but when you can see people, they get it, that the light goes on and you know that you're making a dramatic change in their life. It's very rewarding.
And those business owners, I'm willing to bet, are better prepared for what's going on right now. I mean, they didn't have it in their strategic plan because none of us did, but because they have gone through the work to get to that point with you, they're better prepared for unexpected times like what we're in right now, I would think.
Yeah, although this time is so unusual, but yes, you're right, because they're spending less time in the back counting inventory, mm-hmm. and more time thinking strategically, they would have seen this coming earlier than if they'd been in the back with checking the inventory.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all where we're in now, it's causing a lot of business owners to really step back and look at the business and to think, you know, to be proactive and to think about, is the business going to be able to survive going forward in the new world? Or has the world changed to the point that the services we provided or the product we provided before COVID are going to still, it's going to come back and be the same post COVID. Mm. And so there's a lot of, I'm talking to a lot of business owners about that, to say, just because it worked in the past doesn't mean it's going to work in the future. You know, and all of that is at the strategic level. And they can't be in the back checking inventory or flipping hamburgers or up on a roof banging nails to be doing that kind of thinking. So that's where working together does help, because they recognize the importance of the strategic versus working solely in the business. So
yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because that's where I wanted to go, is in terms of kind of what the conversations are you're having with your business owner clients, as folks were speaking. If you just joined us, with Jeff Lovejoy, and Jeff is with Action Coach, business consultant and coach. Jeff, what we hear the word pivot a lot. Yeah. In fact, I think we've heard it so much we're probably kind of sick of it in a way, maybe. But talk about what your perspective on pivoting is.
My perspective is just that: proactive, honest look at the business and look at the market and understanding where the opportunities lie, and not sitting back and saying, well, when the market comes around, things will be great. I just have to sit this out for the next couple months. Mm. Because it may not come back. You know, how many people in 2008 thought, well, the market will come back, I'll just sit back and wait, and it never came back to where they were, and they just went out of business. Mm. Well, that's kind of what pivoting is about to me. It's about being honest and looking around and saying, you know what, maybe the market's going to come back, or maybe I need to realign myself with businesses that have a bright future ahead of them, because the market is changing. And in my case, I'm starting to offer group coaching services that I never did before, on the premise that you know, when while cash is king, business owners are holding on to cash as much as possible and may not want to put a lot of investment into coaching, although now would be the ideal time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I can offer them an alternative with a lower investment, why not? And mm-hmm. I see keeping that going forward. I mean, it's not a dramatic pivot, but it's a little bit of a recognition of where my business is relative to the current environment. And that to me is all about what pivoting is. You know, it's looking at where the business is, looking at the environment, and how is it impacting your business? And do you need to alter your business slightly or significantly in order to survive?
Thanks for using yourself as an example, because that really illustrates the point that you don't have to suddenly change from being a restaurant to being a medical supplies supplier, right? I mean, pivoting does not involve a wholesale surgical change to the business.
Doesn't have to, absolutely not. You know, I've got clients. You know, you think about like tent companies. You know, where tent, I mean, party, wedding service, outdoor weddings may not be the way they were last year, but hospitals and medical facilities are in great needs of tents. And so there's an example of pivoting from doing weddings to doing, you know, your clients become hospitals or medical facilities. You know, again, it's not a big shift, but if you're sitting back thinking, well, the wedding market will come back, your competitors are going to beat you to the medical stuff.
Right.
And so, and who knows what's going to happen with outdoor weddings.
Jeff, let's talk a little bit about the whole issue of operating in a virtual environment versus what we all enjoyed before, whatever our way of doing business was before.
Yep. Yeah, I just did a webinar on this. It's out on my Facebook page and on my LinkedIn post. The difference is huge for both employee and for owner/managers. From the employee's perspective, there's got to be massive amounts of fear sitting out there because, you know, I'm one step removed from the office. Does that mean I'm halfway out and I'm soon going to get the notice that I've lost my job? And what happens if I lose my job? Am I going to be able to afford my mortgage? And how am I going to get my kids through school and da, 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 da? And then the second big emotion is loneliness. You know, we're all used to kind of mingling around the office and going in someone's office and sharing a cup of coffee and talking about what you did last night and what you're going to the game tonight. That's not happening. And again, in my case, I'm in the basement, in my office in the basement. And it's not particularly enjoyable.
Right.
And so that's where the employees are. The owners are sitting back, not knowing what employees are doing because they're not seeing them. They're not overhearing conversations. And so owners have to really get very much better at overseeing what's happening with their team. I think that the role of the manager is to create competent and productive people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to do that when you're virtual. And it means that you have to have meetings often. I just had a conversation with a client last week, and he's setting up a meeting schedule that he's going to have one weekly team meeting and then two one-on-ones with everybody in his staff every single week so that he knows what they're working on at every moment during the week, and he's going to set plans for the following week. That sort of communication has got to be going on now because owners can't just sit back and assume that everybody is working as productively as they were when they were in the office. Because my son walks in, and all of a sudden I get distracted and I start talking to my son, and the very thing I was working on, you know, gets so. So it puts a big onus on the owners to really be in tune and set goals and expectations with the employees, and for the employees to, you know, embrace that and to acknowledge that they are still part of a team and they're not halfway out the door. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge, no question.
For sure, and the business owner has to have a higher degree of, and here's another word that's been overused, empathy, at least walking in the shoes of their employees, right? Because as you say, they've got all sorts of interruptions, all sorts of problems with trying to get their job done from home that is not necessarily their fault. It's just the way they live. I mean, their kids and dogs and what have you that cause all sorts of distraction.
Right. Absolutely. Got a client who said, you know what? We're not, there seems to be a roadblock now or a barrier between my best employee and me since we've gone virtual. Well, you know, it's probably because they're distractions at home. There's the things we've talked about. So you're absolutely right. The owners have got to recognize the situation with the employees and create bridges across that gap. You know, weekly meetings where you share successes and you talk about how well the company is doing or the status of the company to kind of bolster the employee's sense that, you know, we're not almost halfway out the door, you know, mm-hmm. but the business is surviving. In fact, we've had some big wins and all of that kind of thing. Is that communication is so important these days because you're not getting it around the office. You know, you're in a basement office and you're by yourself.
Yeah, for certain. Now, Jeff, this has been great. You've obviously got some great wisdom to share with folks, but I want to get, before we let you go, I want to make sure that our folks out there understand the kind of clients that are good fits for you, the kind of companies that you work with. Share that with us if you would.
Sure. Thanks for asking, John. Where I work best with companies are the owners who've been in business for 3+ years. You know, they realize that it's not as easy as they thought when they first started their business. You know, they thought they could put a shingle out and people would be coming and they would, it'd be a piece of cake. Well, it's not a piece of cake. And also owners that are growing, the business is growing, but it's not growing at a rate that they want. They know there's so much more potential in the business than what they've been able to get out of it. And they don't know how to get that potential out of the business. Mm-hmm. Those are ideal type of clients for me. And because of that, they tend to be more willing to listen to someone else's thoughts and ideas. I mean, ultimately, with all my clients, they have the final say. I'm just offering ideas. But if they're not open to ideas, different ways of thinking, then it's not going to work. So, you know, the 3+, 5+ years, 5 to 25 employees is the sweet spot for me. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, sure. And you mentioned that you have added group coaching and yes. your core business has been one-to-one, right?
Yes, that's right.
So
yes.
you've got options for folks to engage with you.
I've got options. I've got, you know, and the one-on-ones, it can be a function of how often we meet. So the investment slides, the fewer times we meet, mm-hmm. you give stuff up, you give up accountability and you give up the step-by-step movement if we meet less frequently, but it lowers the investment. And I should say that I don't specialize in any one industry, John, because I think of a glass of water. And I think that the owner knows everything there is inside that glass. And it doesn't matter if it's putting on a roof, cutting hair, designing websites, being a lawyer. But what they don't understand is the space outside that glass, which is the strategic space. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any, they have little recognition that that exists. And so my role is to help help them broaden the brim of that glass as they start getting more exposed to strategic things, which is where the business is going to grow. They become better owners and leaders because they're developing themselves by broadening the brim of that glass. Okay, so I don't specialize in any industry because that space that's outside that glass is similar for any industry. Financial, leadership, employee development, customer satisfaction, finding leads, marketing, selling, all that stuff is outside that glass.
Great stuff from Jeff Lovejoy with Action Coach. Jeff, this has been great. Really appreciate you. Yeah, really appreciate you sharing. For those that would like more information, would like to be in touch with you and engage in some way, tell them how they can do that.
Thanks, John. My name again is Jeff Lovejoy. My phone number is 404-444-1836. My website is jefflovejoy.actioncoach.com, or you can also find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Jeff Lovejoy with Action Coach. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John.
So, folks, if you've got some other headaches that involve maybe administrative tasks, bookkeeping, your books are a mess, and if you've got a PPP loan and you need some help in documenting where that money went, you need some bookkeeping help, there's a lot of reasons to pick up the phone and call Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. She's got a team of angels that fly in. They bring talent and experience. They get the job done for you, and then they fly out. And they have been doing their work virtually since the very beginning, 18 years ago. So give Essie a call, 770-442-9246. If you've got any of those issues, or you can also go to officeangels.us and read their testimonials, and they do great work. I work with them, and Essie and her team are awesome. We're going to turn now to David McDonough, and David is with Modern Image. David, welcome.
Thank you. Apologize to be calling in from a hotel in Oxford, Mississippi. I'm helping my daughter move this week.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that, helping your daughter, man. So you are with Modern Image. Tell us a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John, for giving me the chance. And I'd be remiss if I didn't start by talking about Jeff Lovejoy and Essie Escobedo. Two people have been instrumental in helping me get to where we are today. I've been working with Jeff for a number of years, and things that he talked about, trying to look for specific examples, I can give you a specific example. Having approached my business strategically for a little while now, it was relatively easy to understand the situation we were in and think proactively about ways that we could grow through it and be of more service to our clients during this. So I was already in a position through working with Jeff. And then, of course, with Essie's support, we're able to make those changes very quickly in adding people and adding capacity to be able to take on this new phase. So I'd be remiss if I didn't start by thanking those guys.
Well, you're awfully generous to do that. So thank you for doing that for both. I'm going to thank you on behalf of both of them. So that's awesome. But let's talk about you and tell folks about Modern Image.
Thank you. Yeah, we're a document and photograph scanning company. So where we really help clients is if they have valuable information that they go to on a regular basis, it creates confusion, possibly liability, and certainly extra work to have paper. Mm-hmm. So what we do is just simply scan it for them. We make that process very easy, whether they're going into a document management system or whether they're going to store them on a server. We make these paper documents available to everybody on the team. So we've worked with law firms that you know, can now leverage people across the country instead of, you know, having people have to come and look through paper in a conference room. We're working on a big project right now for Department of Public Health. They had records that they needed to store for 30 years. So we'll certainly save them some money by scanning some of those, not all of them, but some of those we'll scan. It's a variety of things for a variety of different businesses, but where there's a need, we can certainly help.
David, you've got an interesting experience out of Hurricane Katrina that really informed you and inspired you in this business.
It's a strange path that got me here. Mm-hmm. I've got an MBA from Tulane in they called it Information Systems for Decision Support. And what it really was is change management, organizational structure, organizational design, helping companies adopt new technology to make a leap. Mm. What are the barriers? What are some of the problems that they're having adopting this? And very much from a people side, not a technical side, helping these projects, you know, come to fruition. Mm-hmm. So I worked for a government contractor for about 10 years, USDA project in New Orleans, moved to Atlanta slightly before Katrina, 6 months. My ex-wife had a great job offer in Atlanta. I went to University of Georgia. My company had an office here. So we moved, you know, to Atlanta. I moved here about 6 months before Katrina. So I on the heels of Katrina, I went back to a recycling company that I had in New Orleans. I started doing that type of work. And then as the city, you know, rebuilt and grew out of Katrina, there was no longer a need for private recycling. They were mainly doing that through contracts. So I sold the company. And before that, I had thought about what to do next. And I looked at paper shredding and decided that living in Atlanta and operating a company in New Orleans was a little bit remote. Came across, you know, a former college roommate had a document scanning company in Northern Virginia. So I worked with him for a little while. I decided that was something that merged my technology experience and my will, you know, my desire to be a small business and to work with small businesses. So it was really a perfect, kind of coming together of those two things. So I opened Modern Image Atlanta in 2011 and have been at it ever since.
Wow. Great story. And you certainly the COVID-19 environment we're now in speaks to the need to have documents and other materials available virtually, right?
Yeah, for some people, it is going to change the way they do business in the long term. And mm-hmm. it's going to facilitate, I think it's going to facilitate much more of a remote capability. That's what I'm hearing from my clients. That's what they're trying to anticipate and see how to make that pivot, as mm-hmm. we said. So it is interesting for a lot of businesses who have traditionally been locked to their paper. Now it's a great opportunity for them to leverage the technology that's available, like we're all leveraging Zoom, and use these tools and these capabilities going forward to give them a lot of advantages. What I saw in New Orleans was that if you were a law firm or if you were a dentist and your office was flooded and you lost all of your records, a lot of them just didn't reopen.
Right.
Simply because they didn't have their files.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a good disaster management component, disaster recovery component, through having, you know, if you showed up one day and instead of an office, you had a slab and a tornado had come through the night before, hopefully all you'd need to do is go down to the store, buy a few computers, plug in, reconnect to your apps and hopefully not miss a beat. So there's different reasons that companies are looking at it, but we've definitely talked to a lot of people who have a renewed interest in this sort of work.
I'm surprised, David, as folks, we speak with David McDonough, and he is the owner of Modern Image here in Atlanta. You know, I'm surprised to hear, and maybe it's just me, but I'm surprised to hear that there are a number of businesses that seem still caught up in paper. I mean, we've heard so much about virtual and cloud computing and cloud storage and that kind of thing. But what you're describing are businesses that are still have rooms full of filing cabinets with paper in it.
It's different things for different people, different needs. But I would say, a lot of your conversation with Jeff Lovejoy previously centered around making change, working on the business, not in the business. So if you're working on the business and you've got your, certain components are online, your banking is online, but maybe you still got paper applications. So you've got HR files in your office.
Mm-hmm.
They're not critical, but they're sensitive and they need to be preserved by law. You need to have them. So they are critical. And you want them locked away. You want them put somewhere where they're safe. And maybe you're making a technology change to where your HR function is going online and you need those previous HR records populated into your system.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, we work with property managers who deal with paper bills and write paper checks and get paper receipts. They're spending other people's money. We do a lot of work with nonprofits. They need to document those transactions, those receipts, the nature of the expenditure of those funds. So there are certain businesses that try as they may. People talk about a paperless office, and I sort of chuckle and I say, show me a paperless bathroom and I'll show you a paperless office. I think paper light, that might be a better description,
mm-hmm.
where you try and migrate as much critical information and as much paper as you can into a reliable, secure, cloud-based environment. But I think a lot of businesses still have some component of paper, try as they may to eliminate it.
So when clients come to you, I mean, what are the specific issues that they are dealing with? Is it access to information? Is it they can't find it? I mean, what are some of the problems they deal with?
Yeah, there's generally four or five, you know, main categories. Search is certainly one of them. We worked with an HVAC company who had 17 filing cabinets from the time they were open. And of course, they like to keep service records and know what type of equipment's there and who's worked on it on the past so that they can provide better service for their clients. The problem that they had is that the landlord, you know, owned the house. And so they had the purchase in his name. And then the tenant called the landlord and said, the AC is not working. And he said, well, call the AC company, get them to come fix it. So they called. Now they've got two files, two different names, same property address. And the filing cabinets, when they renovated their offices, they had a nice shiny front office. They moved all the filing cabinets in the back, but all of the customer service people were in the front. So every time they needed a file, they had to put the phone down, walk to the back, get the file. So it was really two things for them. Mm. They needed to be able to attach all of those records into their service management system that they were integrating. Mm-hmm. So they were able to do that. We were able to scan all of these. They were able to tag them to specific addresses so that when the technician goes in the field, he can look up their record and see their entire history. So they've got the past records in there as PDFs, and now they're moving forward with this service manager system. Law firms. In the past, they would put, we deal with two law firms who do death row inmate appeals. So these cases are 50 or 60 boxes of paper. And in the past, they would put them in a conference room and paralegals and attorneys would go through and pull them apart and see what they could stumble across that was relevant. Now they've got these in an encrypted cloud environment, and anybody that they give access to anywhere at any time can go through and search and categorize and tag and comment these different documents. So it gives them a better ability to provide defense for their client. And then some is just storage. Department of Public Health had a massive amount of boxes. We helped them reorganize and store what should be stored cost efficiently, and then scan what would save them money by scanning. Mm-hmm. So eventually they're going to migrate all of these old paper records into the electronic system. Even there, they still generate a fair amount of paper files, try as they may. So search, security, compliance, those are the main components that we see.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you work with clients? Do you have an ongoing arrangement? I guess you brought up paper shredding. I mean, similar to the paper shredder that comes around every once in a while and does the work. I mean, do you do similar type of routines with your clients where you come along, take their documents, scan them in on a regular basis?
Unfortunately, I'm a better consultant than salesman from a business standpoint, because I will go in and give them advice that's always in their best interest and may not always be in mine. And some of that advice may be, you guys can do this, or you don't need these records scanned. You know, what you're telling me is that, you know, they're important, but they're not secure and you never go to them. Let's get them into storage instead. Mm. But the approach that I take is to try and understand their goals first, and then look at the problems and the issues that they faced, and then the most efficient way to solve those problems. So it's not always scanning for everybody. I would much rather be a resource to people than just a vendor. And there are some people that, you know, to answer your question, there are some people who we work with on an annual basis. There are some people who have a huge backlog and prioritize what we scan for them. We have the ability to store paper and then scan on demand. So we have one property management company where we stored a bunch of their records, and anytime they need it, they just call up and let me know what they need. I go get it out of the storage warehouse, scan it, and get it over to them.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you know, I'd say the vast majority of our clients, we're there to solve a problem. And then once that problem is solved, from that standpoint, there's nothing, you know, that sort of ends the engagement. But I do maintain a fairly good relationship with a lot of clients to help them in other ways that may not always be associated with, you know, turning paper into PDF.
Sure, sure. Folks, we're speaking with David McDonough, and David is the owner of Modern Image right here in Atlanta. When you bring up digital files, the cloud, what have you, suddenly we're talking about security. So give us your perspective on that and the concern that a lot of business owners, whether they should have any or not. A lot of small business owners think, well, I'm too small to get hacked. What's your perspective on that?
Well, it's a great question, because I think we're all vulnerable. And I think there are certain minimum things that a business owner needs to do, just like they do physically, locking mm-hmm. their front door, having filing cabinets that lock, having passwords on computers. When you get into digital security, it's no different. You need to understand the threats and the vulnerabilities, let people who you work with know what those are, take appropriate actions, and then, you know, have a backup plan. Mm-hmm. So people, you know, I'll hear a lot of times concern about the safety of these files on the internet, and there are robust systems that will encrypt files, you know, end-to-end encryption. They're stored encrypted. They're password protected. And if you think about it that way, they're probably safer than they are in a filing cabinet in someone's office. Mm-hmm. If you forget to lock it, or if you just, you know, leave it open, you go to lunch, and then there are the HR files. There are the previous tax records. So if you've got a disgruntled employee, you know, there's a vulnerability there. And there is certainly a vulnerability with electronic documents. And my advice, if you're not working with an IT professional, you should be. You should be aware of the various threats, from phishing to malware to anything else. But if someone locks your computer and says, hey, you know, you need to pay me X amount of money in Bitcoin to unlock it, you should just be able to unplug that computer, throw it away, go get a new one, log right back in, and keep working. So there are different threats to digital documents and electronic storage, and you need to treat those the same way you do physical threats. Understand them, mitigate them to the best of your ability, and make sure that you have a plan if something happens.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. David, this has been great. Lots of food for thought here for both business owners and, I guess, individuals. I mean, because you work with individuals on their photos and that kind of thing as well, right?
That's almost a whole nother business. And I'm actually thinking about splitting them. That's more of the personal side. I get, in a lot of cases, more satisfaction out of working with that. But it's the same process, but a totally different market, totally different clientele. But yeah, I really enjoy helping people get there. You know, get the dusty Rubbermaid containers and the crumbling boxes out from under the attic stairs, and go through them and figure out what's important, and make sure that you document as much of that as possible, because five generations from now, you know, a picture of a bunch of people that nobody knows is going to end up in the garbage can.
Sure.
And I've got a sad collection of those at my office from people who just don't recognize anybody in the pictures anymore. Not even sure they're their pictures versus wow. the ex-wife or, you know, you know, we all just collect pictures, and if they're not documented, and they not some description of who's in there and why they're important and what story they're telling, then they just over time just fade away.
Wow.
So I really enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome work. So a couple different ways to engage with David, folks. And David, I love it if you could give everyone your contact information, tell them how they can be in touch with you.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks very much. We're modernimageatlanta.com. We're in Marietta, right near Dave and Buster's, if you know where that is, Delk Road and 75, if you're not sure. The phone number is 404-835-7239. We, on the photo side, we have a variety of workshops and boot camps and one-on-one work where we, you know, kind of help clients get started. Of course, now with Zoom, we can easily do that. And then on the commercial side, on the paper side, I love going out and meeting people who are facing an issue that they don't understand, and I can help them understand it. I really enjoy that, kind of in a consultative role, not a sales role, to understand what they're facing and what their goals are, and see if I can help them get there.
Awesome work from David McDonough with Modern Image here in Atlanta. David, thanks so much for being with us.
John, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's a pleasure. So folks, just a reminder that you can listen to this show on all the major podcast apps. That would be Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or even on YouTube. So you can find our shows pretty much on all the major podcast apps. I would consider it a personal favor if you would get on your favorite podcast app, Apple or whatever, and give us a review. We'd appreciate that because that helps folks find the show. And we've got a number of great business owners that we've had that deserve that exposure. So beyond just Jeff and David, we've had 4 years worth of shows, over 500 guests now over that period of time. And so it would, we love it if you could help us get those folks the exposure for the great work that they do in their day-to-day work in their business. You can also follow us on all the major social media platforms. That's Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, North Fulton BRX on all those three platforms. So for my guest, Jeff Lovejoy and David McDonough, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.